my Keurig brewer from Walmart always comes in super clutch. I got it so I can keep grinding on my paper. You know I'm hitting that deadline. I also got it so I could stay up late to do some exam cramming. And of course, you know I'll be ready to stroll into my morning class, sipping in style. I guess you could say it's a literal lifesaver. Cheers to that. Shop your coffee fuel needs at Walmart.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids spending and saving while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
It's time for Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Sports Network with your host, Joe Miller. What is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome into Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. I am the voice of the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. My name is Joe Miller. And you can find me, as always, on Twitter at Joe Miller Wire. Do me a favor, whatever platform you are consuming this podcast on, please like, please subscribe, leave me a review. I've got three episodes that drop for you every week. Monday, I've got Mafia Monday. Wednesday is Wake Up Wednesday. And Friday is Rapid Fire Friday. And believe me, you don't want to miss a single episode, especially the Friday ones. Friday is an opportunity for me to interview somebody, throw 10 quick questions at them, and we just kind of have fun. But it's good to have you. And as I always say, whether this podcast finds you around a cup of coffee, at the gym with your AirPods in, or on the drive to work, let me just say one more time, welcome. I'm super excited that you're here. Super excited that you're joining me. I got a special guest for you all the way from San Jose, California. Played his college football at Oregon State. Actually, Jordan Poyer's alma mater. Sixth round draft pick by the Buffalo Bills in 2020. And now a starting wide receiver for the New Jersey Giants. And just scored his first touchdown as a pro. Ladies and gentlemen, Isaiah Hodgins. Isaiah, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm thankful and blessed to, you know, be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you, and I appreciate you doing this. And just coming off of this past weekend, I wanted to have you on. Real quick, just to set the table so everybody knows, normally when you guys, football players, get interviewed, a lot of times you're given the questions ahead of time just so you can kind of know what to expect. Mm-hmm. That is not the rules of this here episode or this show. I basically make sure that you guys know it's going to be safe. I'm not going to like blindside you with something bad. But we're just going to fire 10 quick questions at you. And yeah, we're just looking to have a little bit of fun and share some information that maybe you guys don't get asked very often that the listeners will enjoy. So you ready?
Yeah.
So first question, have you had to officially change your position on there's only one team in New York? Don't answer that. I'm just kidding.
I was like, man, that's a tough one for the first one.
Don't answer that question. I don't want to get you in trouble with the Giants. Yeah. Yeah. So that was just a joke question. That is not one that does not count. So let's actually get started this time. So Baker Mayfield got released by the Panthers on Monday, right? He gets claimed by the Rams on Tuesday and is playing in this football game right now. Can you even fathom, like, as a wide receiver, how hard that would be, let alone as a quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, as a wide receiver, it would be tough just for the playbook. And even if you're used to the playbook, I mean, you got to do stuff like get timing down with the quarterback and the offense and knowing how they like to run certain things. So, I mean, for a quarterback, you have to know everything, like the O-line and what they're doing, where they're sliding the protection, and then running backs and who they're picking up, hot routes, I mean, audibles, like there's a whole lot. So, I mean, that's pretty crazy.
It takes me back to when Josh Allen this year said that, I don't remember what game it was before, what interview it was, but he was talking about his first game that he played in. Like he was just kind of like making stuff up. Like he didn't know anything about checks. He didn't know anything. I just can't even fathom for a second, like for a wide receiver, you've got to know the play calls. And like you said, a quarterback's got to know everything, right? Yeah. Like, that's nuts. Yeah. Totally strange. But on your own journey, where were you, and what was that whole process of getting claimed by the Giants like? So take us through just that phone call, right, to the yes.
Yeah. You know, so after, you know, getting cut in the preseason by the Bills, you know, I started off in the practice squad, and then, you know, with some injuries and some stuff ended up happening. And, you know, obviously you guys know I was brought up to the active roster for like 5 weeks, got to, you know, play in a couple games and stuff and contribute a little bit. And then, you know, some roster moves had to be made on the trade deadline. There's some shuffling. So I got called in and, you know, they let me know that, you know, they had to release me and that, like, it was unfortunate. And they really didn't want it to happen like that. And, you know, they tried every, you know, other way to kind of make it happen, but it's kind of just how it shaked out. So, you know, they were hoping to bring me back on practice squad and then eventually, you know, getting me back up to the active as soon as they can. And, you know, so I was cool with it and cool with the plan. So I had to wait the full day to see if I cleared waivers, which was like around like 4 o'clock. So I wasn't even really keeping track of time. Like, I was just, you know, kind of like at home and my son was sleeping. It was like around like four. And, you know, like Maya was just getting home from something and my wife. And I think I was just either watching TV or playing a video game or something. And my agent had texted me and was like, bro, like Giants. And I'm like, what? No way. Like, I'm like, he got to be kidding. You know, like, you know, it's just like, whatever. Cause I was expecting like 30 minutes later to like literally go sign my practice squad contract. And then literally, you know, like Dayball and like Josheen and everyone just start FaceTiming me and calling me. And they're like, hey, like, we need you on a flight out here tonight. Like, you know, for like physicals and this and this, like, you familiar with the playbook? You good? Like, rah, rah. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, yeah, like, shoot, like, let's do it. Like, flew out a couple hours later. I mean, I went back to the facility to kind of, you know, say like my goodbyes and like to, you know, all the players and coaches and McDermott and Bean and everyone and stuff. And, you know, they were a little disappointed that, you know, I got claimed, especially to Dayball, you know, familiar face and everything. But, you know, they didn't want it to go out like that way. So, you know, it was kind of like a little bit of like a bittersweet, you know, type of feeling. But yeah. So.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. And then when you got there, the Giants were on a bye. So yeah. Like not none, but most of the players weren't there, I would expect, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, nobody was here. Like, I went in and, you know, did my physicals with doctors and got to, like, tour the facility and do all that. But, like, nobody was there besides, like, a couple coaches and
right.
You know, some, like, training staff and stuff. But, like, yeah, it was just, like, an empty building. So I was just felt like I was walking around in a ghost town.
It's like your own personal tour.
Yeah.
Can I go on a tour of the Giants facility? Sure.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
So did you get an opportunity when you, I'm guessing you did, to reconnect with Brian? Obviously, you said that you got to FaceTime with him.
Yeah.
And can you share any of that conversation just of him wanting you, welcoming you, like, hey,
yeah,
what's up?
Yeah. I mean, he definitely, you know, watched some of like my preseason stuff and, you know, some stuff that, you know, some of the games that I played in the regular season. And, you know, he obviously remembers that, you know, I knew the playbook very well from the times I was in Buffalo and stuff. So, you know, part of the reason why I always say, you know, don't burn bridges and, you know, you know, like, you know, just always work hard and, you know, God's going to find a way for you and a place for you. But so, you know, I was just kind of just talking with him and, you know, he was like, hey, like, we need you to kind of like come in and play right away. Like, not exactly sure what your role is going to be, but I know like you're going to play like, and you know, playbook good, like, you know, come in and contribute. And, you know, I tried doing that, you know, my first game. I mean, I only got the ball thrown to me twice, but, you know, had two catches for 41 yards. And then, you know, the following game, you know, had around like the same ish, like yards, would have had more, but I had like two or three, like called back. And then, Thanksgiving game had the touchdown called back. So I was like a little hurt about that one. And then finally got the first one this past game. So,
I don't know if you've been keeping track, but I do a thing on this program on this channel called Hodgins Watch. So every Wednesday I update my listeners on just how you're doing. So we have a little Hodgins Watch segment. Yeah. Your path to starting in the NFL has been challenging. Patience, perseverance. How has your faith helped you these last couple of years while you've been kind of waiting to get your chance?
Yeah. I mean, it's been huge because like it helps me stay in it mentally. And I feel like a lot of people in the league, like, I mean, we used to talk about it with Diggs all the time, but just like everyone, like, I don't think enough people really realize like how much of the game is really mental. Like how much of the game is really like, dang, like, even if you're a starter, like, oh, I didn't get the ball thrown to me a lot this game, or, oh, like, you might have not had the best game, or drops, or this, or, you know, it could be, like, whatever, and, like, how much part of the game is really, like, you got to stay locked in and work just as hard after a bad week, or after, you know, everyone's talking bad about you, or, you know, like, stuff like that, like, that's, like, especially if it's, like, an injury or a hurt or something, you know, and, you know, I have that tattooed on me, the James 1224, you know, the whole perseverance thing. And it's funny because like I had got that tattoo before I had like gotten hurt or like anything. So I feel like it was kind of like a, you know, like get ready for some perseverance, like, you know, like look at this thing to remind yourself every once in a while, like, and you know, like once the injuries, like I would just remember like, okay, like, you know, like God's got me here for a reason. And, you know, like, obviously, like his bigger picture is, you know, helping the community, changing people, and, you know, bringing people to Christ and doing that. So that kind of helped me, not find joy in like being hurt and not playing, but just like, you know, knowing that, you know, I was still there for a reason. And I was still like making a difference, you know. And in the meantime, I was still working hard, grinding, waiting for my opportunity to shot. And, you know, when it came, you know, I took it and took advantage of it. So, you know, I'm just thankful for that.
Yeah, super good. That's awesome. I love your faith. I love your dedication. I've known you for a couple of years now, and just to see you not waver, there was many opportunities for you to just get down on yourself. Like you said, the mental aspect of it. So to just remain strong and to remain firm and persevere. I mean, that is a well-placed tattoo as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. But good things are on the horizon, and things are looking up. And even to that, you know, you scored your first official, right? Your official touchdown as an NFL wide receiver this past weekend. Take us through the play call and then the play, because you about took that dude's shoes off.
Yeah, that was it was funny because after I scored, Dayball came up to me on the sideline and was like, "You've been running that route for like 3 years now. Like, we finally got the call in the game for you." So like, yeah, like it was just one of those things where, you know, you've seen Diggs do it so many times in practice and games and different ways to run it. And, you know, Coach Chad used to always do a great job of just teaching us based off, you know, off coverage or press, you know, how to run it and the technique. And then you get to see great receivers, you know, do it all the time, every day in practice. And you get to learn a little and steal a little bit from them. And, you know, the more I repped it in one-on-ones and stuff, like the more I got more comfortable with it. And, you know, I go over there to the Giants and Dave comes up to me, or I guess Coach Chad had and Dave's had some type of conversation, like when I got claimed or something like that. And Coach Chad had actually told him like, hey, like, anything in the red zone, like Big Man's great at, like, you know, like he's a, like great red zone route runner, like, you know, Colorado's fades, whatever, like all that. So like Dave came up to me and was like, "Chad said you're good at running Colorado's, like, can you do that?" And I'm like, "Yeah, like, of course." So he's like, "Okay, let me see you do it today in one-on-one." So I was like, "All right, like, cool." So I went out in one-on-ones and like killed the dude who I was going against, like made him fall, like, yeah, like it was like bad. So then he was like, "I guess Chad was right, like, shoot." Like, so then they put the play in and was like, "All right," like, you know. And the play was actually in for like 2 weeks. I was hoping that they call it like in the Dallas game, but they never got to it. And then like I wasn't like, I was hoping they called it this game, but I wasn't really like expecting, and I was just like, "All right, like, we'll see what they do." And then out of nowhere, like, I heard like, "Hey, like, here's the play call," and I heard it come out. I was like, "Oh man, like, I can't mess this one up. Like, I gotta win." And I was like praying for man coverage, like, cause, you know, versus zone, if he just stays outside, like, you know, it's kind of dead. But you know, when I saw him kind of line up and lock eyes with me and give me like man demeanor, I was like, okay, yeah, like, this is my opportunity right here. Like,
yeah, here we go. So what were the emotions just in that moment, finally officially fulfilling, you know, what had to be a childhood dream of yours of catching a touchdown in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, it was just crazy, you know. It was surreal. Like, you know, Maya was there and she got to experience it, you know, and she was super excited, and all my, you know, family and friends, and just like realizing like how many, like, you know, like supporters that were just like genuinely like happy, like not just from like a fan perspective of just like, "Oh, you scored a touchdown, like, great job, like, you know, you're good," but like how many of like close friends, you know, you guys, Life Church Buffalo, or just like people from back home, like texting me and just like so like happy and excited to like, "Man, like, you finally got your first one, like, you know, I got to keep the ball," and you know, like all that, and wrote on it and everything. So, you know, it was just like, you know, kind of like a surreal moment, just like, you know, being on the Giants. And like, you know, I was hoping it was for the Bills, you know, but, you know, whatever team it was on, you know, like, that's where God has me. But, you know, just being here and like getting like my first touchdown was just like a dang, like, you know, like I'm really in, like, it kind of like brought me back to a second, like, I used to really dream of this, like, as a little kid, you know, like, and now, like, I'm here scoring touchdowns, like, it's crazy.
So. That's awesome. Bonus question from me, so I have the right to throw in a bonus one. What was the touchdown celebration with the arm straight down and the hand?
Yeah, it's funny. So it was just like,
it was great. I was like, oh, do your thing, bro.
But yeah, me and Josh used to like always like play around like with it. Like, it was just like one of those like celebrations, like, it's kind of messed up, but like, so it's like when you put like your hand down like that, like, you're basically like telling like the person or defender, like, you're too small. Like, that's like you're too little, like you can't really play with me, you can't guard me, this and this. And like, Josh used to always do it like playing around at practice and stuff like that, or with people. So like, I kind of like picked up on it, and then I don't know why, like, I didn't even plan on that, like, that wasn't like a plan thing, like, boom, like, it was just like out of the emotions and like the blue, like, I was just like, I just did it. And then my mother-in-law was making fun of me. She was like, Isaiah, you look like a girl walking around like that. And I was like, oh man.
It was clutch, and it actually fits perfect, like, what the story you just told and the reaction and the move that you put on. I mean, to get retweeted by the NFL, right? I mean, you were one of the clips from the NFL because of that move. It was fantastic. So congratulations, that's a great story. That's awesome. And it's funny because, you know, the week before, and you talked about it a second ago, you also caught a touchdown, but it was called back on a penalty.
Yeah.
Crushed, or was it just more of a, all right, let's line up and do it again?
Yeah, it was like, at the time, I was like, you know, like, I caught the, like, usually on like over routes like that, like, it's usually like one of those plays where like you catch it and like you get hit like at least a couple steps like after or mm-hmm. right away or something. And it was one of those things where I caught that ball and I was like, oh, nobody's next to me, like, and at the time it was 0-0 and I'm like, I got the first touchdown on Thanksgiving, like, this is crazy, like, I ran into the end zone. I'm like, man, like, this is all you can ask for, like. And I did the baby celebration, which that was like my real actual first touchdown celebration, which I planned on, because, you know, we're expecting a second baby, and I told my, if I score, I'm gonna do that. So like, I did it and everything, and it was like planned and it was perfect. And then I see the flag and I'm like, oh, no way, this is really happening to me right now. Like, and then it got pulled back, and at the time I'm like, okay, like, it was the first quarter, so I was like, I could get another one, like, you know, I could get it back. And everyone on the sidelines, you'll get it back, don't worry, bro. And then when the game ended and I didn't get it back, I'm like, man, I want that touchdown back, man. it was hurt. But
so real quick, yeah, so you've got a second baby on the way. This is actually not part of the show, this is unscripted as well. So little girl.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Have you worked out names yet, or have you not gotten there yet?
We're in the heat of the battle right now. Discussing. It's just like our first one. She didn't want, you know, Isaiah Jr., but, you know, I did. So, you know, she gave in towards the end, and, you know, kind of let me have it. So I got to give a little bit more leniency for her, you know, since it's a girl. But awesome. You know, we're kind of still discussing on that.
Yeah. For those that don't know you as well as I may know you, you are an incredible husband and father and family man, and the nucleus of your family is incredible. And
appreciate that.
It's excited for you guys. Now you've got a cool kind of a cool opportunity coming to the Giants due to your time in the offensive system in Buffalo. Obviously, we talked about it real quick, your relationships with Brian Daboll, Josh Allen, and of course seeing wide receivers like Steph, Cole, Gay be successful in this system, right? Because it's a complex, hard system.
We've
all heard about that. What perspective are you able to bring to the Giants? And did you find yourself kind of like with a lot of answers in the wide receiver room for guys that were like, and you're like, no, it's easy. It's this.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I kind of forgot, like, when I came here like that, like, you know, like, this is Daboll's first year here. So, you know, like, a lot of these guys haven't even been in this offense for, you know, more than 6 months. Like, so it's like, or really played in any games for more than 6 months or whatever. And it's so like, when I first got here, like, a lot of the people were asking me questions like, oh, like, when did, you know, how do you do this, or what's this play again, you know, and this and that. So I was able to answer it, but I was also able to give, like, not just like the lines and the black and white of just like, oh, it says on paper do this, but I was able to give like the technique and like the, you know, ins and outs of really how to do it. And I think that's part of the reason where now, looking back, like, God had me in Buffalo, because it's just like I got to see Stephon Diggs, as you said, like, do it all the time, do it at high level. Like, Cole Beasley, another vet, high level. Like, my rookie year, John Brown, high level. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to see Emmanuel Sanders the next year, vet, like, high level. Like, Gabe Davis last year and this year, like, who's been playing great, like, high level. Like, Isaiah McKenzie, like, high level. Mm-hmm. Like, Jameson Crowder come in. Like, all these guys, I got to, like, sit there while I'm kind of waiting my turn and, like, okay, like, I'm going to pick this from you. I like mm-hmm. this from you. You gave me this advice. You told me to do this. And, like, just, like, use it for my toolbox, whether it was for on the field or rehab or just, like, whatever. So, like, I feel like I got to, like, really, you know, help out some of these guys here. And, like, some, like, the slots I tell them all the time, like, oh, like, Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie used to run this route like this. Like, you know, do it like that. Or, oh, like, Gabe sometimes does this. And, you know, like, Diggs used to do this release on this, like, and, you know, like, a lot of that stuff's, like, insightful for them, you know, because, like, some of these guys have played with good vets, but some of them, like, haven't. Like, we have a, you know, we had a rookie receiver. We had some other guys who've just been here the whole time, so they haven't really seen, like, great, like, wide receiver ones and, you know, twos, like, really, like, you know, flourish in this offense, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's cool that you get the opportunity to almost be a coach or be a teacher, right, in that moment and kind of, like, begin to assert yourself as potentially a leader because that's just really, really neat. So I got two more questions for you, and they are not football related. Okay. The first one, you guys are staying in New Jersey. You told me that, I think, before we were even on air. And all of my listeners, just from listening to me, and they know how I'm kind of connected to you, they know that church is important to the Hodgins household. And we've talked about a little bit of that just even in this episode. How's church hunting going in New Jersey? And have you found a place yet? Are you still kind of, because you had asked me, do I know anybody out there? Oddly enough, Jersey, I found you a place in Arizona.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody in Jersey.
I've only had one Sunday off since I've gotten here, and that was after the Thanksgiving game. So we were able to go to a church called Liquid Church, I think. And it's funny because Maya had told Kelly about it, and I guess Kelly and Pete either used to go there or, like, were there, like, when they were, like, young or something, and she was like, that church, like, holds a special place in our heart. Like, you know, they either used to do ministry there or something like that, where it was like they really liked that church and where it's like, yo, like, you know, like, hang on to that place, like, if you can, if you like it as much as we do. And, you know, we loved the worship, and it was like pretty good. Like, you know, like, obviously, like, you know, Pastor Pete, like, he's kind of set that bar and standard for me where I'm like, I like, you know, you gotta kind of, like, hit that. But it wasn't like I caught him, like, on a bad week or anything. It was just their it was like their mission Sunday. So, like, they were kind of showing, like, the mission for the church, and which was really cool. Like, you know, they got to talk about all, like, the stuff that they did prior, like, to the date, like, now, and, like, all the stuff that they plan on doing next year, and you know, like, the funds and stuff and everything. So it was, like, really cool to see, like, how much, like, they've already poured out to the community and people in other countries and all that stuff. So, but I mean, they had a good daycare and, like, you know, loved it, like, so far. So, you know, but I'm always, like, a guy who, like, has to go back, like, 2-3 times. Like, Life Church was, like, the only church that I went to, like, the first time, and I was like, man, like, I love this church. Like, you know, we got to go back. Like, it's crazy. So, but, you know, so far, so good. I think Maya's going back on this Sunday, obviously by herself, because, you know, like, I'll, you know, be in the hotel and everything, and then getting ready for the game. So, I'm gonna check in with her and see how she likes it this week. So,
yeah, the reason that you liked Life Church so much the first time was probably because I was singing, right?
on Easter, right?
I think it was Easter. That's awesome. Last question for you, and I asked this question of Joe Marino as well as Reed Ferguson. A little bit different. I asked them the best thing about being a girl dad. Now, you, Junior, is your firstborn, and you're getting ready to have a second child that's a girl. But for you, and I know that this is really off the cuff, and it's super quick, and you're not really gonna have time to think of it, but best thing about being a dad for you, because you're such a good dad, and I love to see you interact with Junior. But for you, what is the best thing about being a dad?
I think, like, for me personally, it's like two things. It's like it kind of, like, holds you, like, accountable, and, like, the accountability and stuff. Like, I find myself, like, my son's in the stage where, like, he's, like, 2 in a couple months now, and, like, he's, like, copies everything that I do. Like, so if I, like, slip up and I have, like, an angry moment, or if I'm, like, you know, if I get caught, like, yelling, or if I'm just, like, kind of, like, quick to anger and stuff, like, he acts just like me, and he's, like, will do the same thing. And then, like, it's hard for me to get mad at him, where I'm like, dang, I just showed him this. Like, you know, I can't be sitting here doing this now, you know? Right. Like, So that's kind of like, you know, the accountability thing. And it helps me like, okay, like I have to really wash myself. Like the other day I went and sat on the couch and went to tie my shoes, and like he went and sat right next to me and started messing with his, like he didn't know what he was doing, but he was just like messing with his feet. And I'm like, oh man, like this is crazy. And then I would say the other like real like best part about being a dad is just like it really like puts stuff in perspective and like takes your mind off of like, you know, like the outside world. Like even if I had like a bad practice or a bad game or a bad day at work, like you come home, like today I came home and he immediately jumped off the couch and was like, daddy, ran up and gave me a hug. And it's like that's the stuff that matters, you know, like that's the stuff that like warms my heart and makes me feel better. Like I could have had the worst day at work, but like if I come home to that, like, you know, that makes life good. So
that's super awesome. Isaiah, thank you so much. That's a lot. That wasn't too bad, was it?
No, that was great.
I appreciate it. Anything you want to say before I get us out of here?
Nah, man, just thankful for my time in Buffalo, man. I definitely want anybody who's listening to remember that and know that you know, it's always going to hold a special place in my heart from the day I got drafted to now. And, you know, wish the best for all the guys over there and like your guys' season and everything. And just thank you for having me on.
Yeah, appreciate you. You are already missed. You've got a pretty big fan base here. And what's cool is, you know, you went to a team where we're already rooting for Dable, right? So like we're already rooting for the Giants and kind of want them to do better because we want him to succeed. So it was great having you in Buffalo and it was great having you in the show. But ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into Rapid Fire Friday on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Do me a favor, keep tuning in. And if you enjoyed this interview, follow Isaiah Hodgins. Where can they find you on Twitter?
Just at Isaiah Hodgins, I think. All one word.
Yeah, super, super, super simple. You're a little more active on Instagram than you are on Twitter.
Yeah. Twitter is one of those things for like, I wish I had the not freedom, but just, you know, like if Twitter's like that world now, like even if I didn't mean something, like if I just say something and someone interprets that it meant something else, I'm over here getting chewed out and canceled or whatever and all that. And it's not working. I'm not at the stage where I even want to deal with that right now. Like maybe soon I'll get there, but not right now.
But he's a good follow. So make sure you follow Isaiah both in real life on the football field and on social media. But Isaiah, thank you. Tell Maya that I said hello. And for me, for Isaiah, go Bills. What are you going to say?
Go Giants.
Oh, man.
Walmart has Straight Talk Wireless, so I can keep doing me. Like hitting up all my friends for a last-minute study sesh. Or curating the best pop playlist you've ever heard in your life. And even editing all my socials to keep up with what's new. Oh yeah, I look good. Post it. Which all in all suits my study poppy main character vibes to a T. Period. Find and shop your fave tech at Walmart.
Brushed Up knows you'd do anything for your cat. From getting them food that's nicer than yours to letting them take a midday nap on your keyboard. So why settle for basic litter? Switch to Brushed Up. Brushed Up cat litter locks in liquid and odor on contact, giving you up to 15 days of odor control. Learn more at brushedup.com. Step it up to Brushed Up with superior odor control. Versus leading value clumping litter, Brushed Up is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Febreze is used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
High Five Casino lets you play your favorite slot and live table games, like blackjack, with the chance to redeem for real cash prizes. High Five Casino has a giant selection of over 1,200 games, including hundreds of exclusive games only found on High Five Casino. It's always free to play, and free coins are given out every 4 hours. Ready to have your own High Five moment? Visit highfivecasino.com. That's high, the number 5, casino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. Must be 21 years or older. Terms and conditions apply.